Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 45 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today to finish off Week 9 is my good friend from the Bat Minute, Niall McGowan.
Hello, Rob. Thank you. I'm just sitting here trying to butch up by eating my glasses.
Okay, maybe that'll work for you better than it works for Jarvis. Who knows?
I'm so happy to have this minute because I've been baffled by this my entire life. I think that little interaction about his glasses and just like, particularly for me as a glasses wearer too, I was just like, there's so many things I have a problem with in this moment. But we'll get there.
We shall definitely get there. So minute 45 begins with Simon playing a guessing game and ends with Simon continuing to play with John the game Simon says. Mm. So this is a minute of games, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah. But we're good to get back into the simple pitch of the movie, though, is just like, oh yeah, it's a Simon Says game. Like that's the, because I think there's a long stretch in the middle once getting into all the stuff in the trucks under and then the dam and all that sort of stuff. But you forget about the whole Simon Says aspect of it. And then it gets brought up again later with Zeus going to the stadium. It's like, oh, that's right. Yeah, the whole Simon Says game. I forgot about that almost. So it's like bringing it back to basics here now for this.
Right.
This
minute, and they don't keep up, with the Simon Says anyway, by the fact that, you know, he gives orders and doesn't have to say Simon Says, but they still have to do it, or they, you know, there's no consequences for not doing them.
Do you think when he says, when he asks Targo to do something, Simon says,
kill McQueen.
And then that's why, like, Targo's like, I can't believe you're sleeping with my girlfriend. Simon's like, you did that. I didn't say Simon Says I couldn't do that. Like, oh, God damn you. This eternal game of Simon Says is driving me crazy.
Oh, that's interesting. I never even thought about it from that perspective. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, maybe in the middle of killing McLean, he's having to ring Simon and be like, did you say Simon Says before you told me to go kill this guy? I'm saying it now. Simon Says go kill John McLean, yes.
Maybe that's why Simon ends up setting up Targo in the end. Because he did things without Simon Says.
That would have been a good line, though, if he had that moment of just been able to be like, oh, if that was the one thing that she said, that Sam Phelps says, was that, like, she just goes, he didn't say Simon Says, and then shoots him. Like, that would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah, that would have worked. That would have worked.
Yeah, yeah. So I think at the end, though, she does, when she's shooting out the window, McLean, she is going like, ah! So she does have some sort of vocal capability, because she is screaming at the end, or like roaring. So
maybe vocal capabilities, but I'm trying to think if there's an example somewhere of someone who lost their voice where they can only make sounds, but they can't speak. I'm trying to remember what movie or TV show it was. There was some character who lost their ability to speak, but could still grunt. And
she's got like a Silent Bob thing going on too, where she's just like, no, I'm very articulate. I just don't choose to speak a lot of the time because I only want to get into things with people when I have to. Like, why people?
Because it's funnier that way. All the damn time.
Yeah,
it's true.
I'll be saying that too. But I don't think Simon was in bed with her, and then she's just like, oh, Simon, I love you, and he's like, oh, Jesus, I didn't know you could talk. What the hell?
Yeah, seriously. That would be very interesting. Yeah, it would be interesting if Kevin Smith were to write this. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Kevin Smith and Die Hard, they have crossed paths before. So.
Yes, we'll get there in two seasons. Yes, yeah. That is the plan. That's right.
Are you going? I'm assuming though, will you stop at that, or are you going to go in then into the fifth movie, or are you just not putting yourself through that?
Right now, I'm not planning on putting myself through that, but it's four seasons away. So I'm currently not worried about it.
Yeah, it comes up fast though, Rob. Like,
I agree. I do agree with you on that. But the current plan is maybe to do like a special episode at the end of four. You know, doing maybe a running commentary or something like that with a few people. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. But again, it's still at least a year away. Let's put it that way. So I'm not as concerned at this very moment about that. So we ended things yesterday with Simon on the phone, pointing out that Cross is in the van and wants to know who else is there. And he basically says, "And I know you never run alone, so say hello, Bill." Mm. And we get a look on Jarvis's face. And then Simon gives the line that you've been waiting to hear, still trying to butch up by chewing on your glasses, huh?
That was the one that really prompted some confusion for me, because it really makes it seem like, oh, is he watching them right now? I guess because later on you do see him literally watching them right now. But they don't seem to be worried that he might be watching them right now. It just seems to be more like, oh, he just knows us that well, that he can predict that I am literally doing this action right now.
Right. I don't think he does. I don't think he sees them. I think he's trying to show here how much he knows these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my interpretation of it.
But also his insight into Bill's psyche, because trying to butch up by chewing on your glasses is like, butch up? What do you mean? Like, has Bill misinterpreted, like, oh, this guy's so tough, he can chew glass. And he thought, like, oh, I'll look tough if I chew my glasses then. Like, what is this? Like, the butching up. Like, do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, well, when I looked up the term butch, so, you know, it told me that it's a synonym for machoism. Mm. Okay, so it's the sense of being more manly and self-reliant.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a masculine pride type of thing. Mm. And so the term machoism actually started in the 1930s, and it was, you know, someone having pride in their own masculinity. And it's the whole idea of a man having the responsibility to provide for, protect, and defend his family. Hmm. But on the other hand, it also gives off tones of, you know, dominance, aggression, grandstanding, and the inability to nurture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, showing that, okay, men are certain ways and women are another ways, but, you know, this is... You know, there is both a positive and negative connotation here to the term.
Hmm. It's all well and good. What the hell's that got to do with him chewing on his glasses? I don't get that. I don't know why he would think that would make him look tough to chew on his glasses. Like,
I think what he's basically saying is that you know, Jarvis is a wimp.
Hmm. And oh, so you think it's a little insult of this, like, oh,
he's insulting him. He's saying, yeah. you're still trying to portray yourself as being someone a little bit more, manly, by chewing on your glasses. That's more he's saying here.
Trying to look cool. Trying to look like, you know, come on. I bet. Did he say something about your jacket earlier, though? He's always saying these things. It's cool cop things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's what I think. It is.
No, it's a valid interpretation. Like, yeah, I just always thought it was such an odd thing to think that you look more macho by chewing on your glasses. It's like,
right. Yeah. Okay, no, I agree with you on that. I understand. Yeah.
It's and also too, as a glasses wearer myself, like, I would never do that. Like, I've seen people who have to, like, oh, they're just doing reading glasses, and they just, you know, they throw those things around, and they just, like, hanging off this, that, and the other, and they have they lose them. They're all no regard for the safety of their glasses, and they'll chew the ends, and they don't mind if they get broke. Whereas I'm like, oh, if I don't have these, I'm screwed. So I, like, would never deface my glasses. I would never treat them with such disrespect, you know. But maybe that's why, like, Bill's trying to be like, I don't even care. I need these glasses. I don't even care. That's how tough I am, that I'm just chewing on them, baby.
It's very possible. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And then Simon continues and says, "This gentleman is, as they say, is where the plot thickens. Mm-hmm. I have put 2,400 pounds of explosives in one of the 1,446 schools in Greater New York. It is fitted with a timer set to explode at exactly 3 p.m. And then he pauses for a second, because as he says that, John looks at his watch to see, you know, how much time he has. And then he goes, "Thank you. Your silence says I'm understood."
Yes. Yeah.
So, okay. Now we're going to go into this little fact that he talks about, that there are 1,446 schools in the New York area. So I obviously am not going to be able to find the information of what they had in 1994, 1995, but how many schools do you think they have today in the New York area? That started this year.
Started this year.
At the start of the 2023-2024 school year, how many schools do you think there are in the greater New York area?
That's about that, probably. Like, yeah, 1,400. That sounds about right to me. Like, I've never been to New York. I just know it's massive. I'm not too sure, like, how many different schools it would need and stuff. Like, so,
So in New York, they have 1,870 schools that started this year, that started the school year this year. In New York itself, the entire state, there are 4,807, which means that there's only 3,000 more schools outside of New York City in the entire state.
Hmm.
Okay. The number of public schools in the entire United States is 98,609.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what state do you think has the most number of schools?
Let's see. Your gut would be to go for the biggest state, really, wouldn't it? Like, but then not necessarily, because it probably depends on the education levels and stuff of that particular state. Maybe Washington, because it's such a, obviously the center or the kind of capital of the country. They would need intelligent people there, so they'd want to make sure the educational system is good in that state, maybe. Or,
well, first of all, Washington is not a state, just so you know. Washington D.C. is not a state. I know you're not from America, so that's perfectly okay. So California has the most with 10,328 schools.
Mm, wow.
Which is obviously more than double what they have in New York. The number two is Texas with 9,002.
Mm-hmm.
And then New York comes in at 3, which is very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any idea what state has the fewest number of schools?
I don't want to go into the cliche of the southern states, because all the bumpkins down there and anything like that. That's it'll be offensive. But so I wouldn't want to wager a guess there. But I don't know. Maybe because Florida is so heavy with retired people, they don't need that many schools. They're catering to the elderly rather than the young.
No. So the answer is Delaware, which is one of the smallest states in the U.S. And in Delaware, they only have 225 schools.
Wow. 200. Geez, Louise. So that means was it both Biden and Aubrey Plaza come from Delaware? I'm aware of that because I remember seeing, I think she was talking about recently that she's apparently the most well-known person from Delaware. And she's like, the current president of the U.S. is from there too. And how am I more well-known than him?
You never know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe her legacy will last longer too,
Right. So. Exactly. And as Simon is talking, so Cobb interrupts him and goes, did you see 2,400 pounds?
I love too that it feels like Simon's almost reading from maybe he had this all planned out in his head about how this is exactly going to go. And then he's like, oh, they'll have a little stunned silence. And then I'll get to go on my spiel. And then the fact that Walters interrupt him, because he comes back in with a very harsh, yes, but please do not interrupt again. Like, he's just like, I gotta get through my thing,
That's right. And he says, yes, but please don't interrupt again. Simon says, if you attempt to evacuate schools, the bomb will be detonated by radio. And gentlemen, someone will be watching. Repeat. One school will be dismissed at 3 p.m. permanently.
Oh, he's enjoying himself there.
For sure.
It's just it's the little emphasis he puts on everything too. This is it will be detonated by the radio. Like, it's got a little pep in it.
That's right.
And then they go, and gentlemen, someone will be watching. And it just has this, it's Jeremy Irons really while Bill is chewing his glasses, Jeremy Irons is chewing that phone cord, I guess, because he's not on screen to chew the scenery, but he is.
That's right.
He's chewing up this dialogue at least.
And then he says, unless what? Unless John McClane and his new best friend complete the tasks I set them. John, are you listening? Yeah. The payphone beyond hope, Tompkins Square Park. 20 minutes go by, and then he gets cut off.
Yeah, that's that sounds like it's like a you know, like the title of like a play or something, like the payphone beyond hope. Like it has a kind of like, you know, pennies from heaven kind of vibe to it. You know, like
that's right.
It's like, oh, have you ever read the payphone beyond hope?
Yeah, exactly. Is hope considered? You think it's supposed to be like a street name?
I assume like the indication was like, oh, no,
or is it beyond it's getting any hope?
Yeah, it's I maybe it is a street name, but Simon chose that specific street because he wanted to make the little joke as well, like, ah, the payphone beyond hope, and also in the corner of this, it's a beyond hope, but in the corner of, you know, Regency Street or whatever. But it's a maybe I'll be that should be the. That should be the title of Jeremy Irons' autobiography. Will be the payphone beyond hope. And we're like, what the hell is that going to do? And I'm like, it's like, oh, you clearly don't know Die Hard with a Vengeance well enough, man.
That's right. You need to know it. You need to know it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love how in this entire scene, everyone sitting around listening to everything that Simon says, they're so attentive. Hmm.
Even Hugh Prantera there in the back, too.
That's like, right.
He's just sitting silent. He's like, wait, don't move in case he realizes that I'm here, too. Like,
that's right.
Or maybe afterwards he'd be like, he didn't even ask about me. I can't believe it. It's like, I thought me and Simon had a connection, but oh, the hell with me then, I guess.
Apparently not.
Or he's just like, and then you'll have that other guy who's always there, FBI chief. Like, I have a name, Simon.
Well, we know from reading the script. His name is, yeah. We know from reading the script yesterday he's not there.
So, oh, of course, yeah. So,
you know, they had to add him in there
they added in another guy. Maybe they thought it was way cooler to have like, oh, you have a cool guy sitting in the back with sunglasses, and then he gets to drop the bomb, and it's much more impactful that way.
That's right.
Yeah. And it also seems like it gives the FBI some kind of level of like competence as well, because it's like, oh, at least I got that one guy that Simon doesn't know about, and he seems, he has a vibe of being in charge and having a sort of assessed the situation and stuff. Whereas you know, yeah, Bill and Cross are just kind of like, these dorks, you know.
And this Butch guy and Andy.
And then, you know, this, like, Bill's just doing it to impress John McClane as well. And then afterwards, he's like, he thought I was cool showing my glasses and stuff? Like, no, I think he thinks you're an idiot, man.
And he would be right, wouldn't he?
Yeah. You think he liked that jacket line? It's like, no, I don't think he thinks about you at all, Bill.
And forget about the fact that he's not talking about you.
Yeah. He's not talking about me? No, not talking about you.
Exactly. And I mean, it's great how also when Simon starts talking about the different people in, you know, in the van, you know, he talks about Cross, he talks about Jarvis, and, you know, they do look like they're exasperated about the fact that he just figured this out, that they're there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the one hand they thought they had. Like, he's so far ahead of them. And they have the fact they literally have no idea. They don't know why this area, they don't know anything. It's just like, yeah, we don't even have that little element of surprise on them. Like, oh, we were listening the whole time. So it's like, no, I'm fully aware that those specific guys are there and that they're so predictable. I know the guy's even chewing his glasses too. Like,
that's right.
It's nice. It's a nice touch.
Yep. And that's how this minute ends. That's how this week ends. So did you have anything else you want to say about this this minute?
No, not about this minute. I think I've made my feelings on the film in total clear as well. Yes, too. I absolutely loved Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Of course, of course.
One of the greatest action films of the 90s. So.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the best. So the script continues... we mentioned yesterday in the script that Cross identifies himself as the deputy director. And then this minute begins with Jarvis saying, William Jarvis, Simon. And Simon goes, Bill, The last time I saw you was through the telescopic sight of a Ruger's rifle. Do you still wear those horn-rimmed glasses? You're so unbecoming. Everyone looks at Jarvis's horn-rimmed glasses. Jarvis grits his teeth. Congratulations, John. Two for two. I thought you might be getting bored, so I've put 2,800 pounds of C4 plastic explosives in one of the 246 schools in Greater New York. It's set with a timer. Cobb then says, excuse me? Did you say 2,800 pounds? Yes. Please don't interrupt again. It's time to explode in exactly 3 hours at 3 p.m. If any child is seen exiting any of the schools, I will detonate the bomb by remote control. What's the Simon Says part? Hello, John, Simon says. McLean and his new friend go to the payphone in Washington Square Park. I will call you in 20 minutes. If you do what you're told, I will tell you where the bomb is and how to disarm it. So, again, I like it better the way they do in the movie. I mean, obviously, we've discussed this ad nauseum, the fact that, you know, in the movie, they don't deal with plastic. You know, they have this, you know, this great compound of explosives that they use, which works much better than just using regular plastic explosives like they do.
In so much more every memorable. Yeah. Yes. It's all the stuff of Charlie mixing the two things and blowing the Charlie, you're going to be wearing that shirt.
That's right.
Yeah, great little moments like that.
That's right. You need lines like that from Connie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I do like a couple of details there, like the because the fact that the Hugh's not in the script, it does add a little thing then to when Simon's like, oh, you know, it's the deputy director of the FBI. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, oh, I'm insulted. Like, you didn't even get the lead guy.
That's right.
Oh, come on. Whereas, like, having someone above Cross in the back does feel like, oh, no, they have got top people, like the top people on it, instead of just, like, the deputy or whatever. And also a couple little things in there, like, obviously changing the stuff about Bill's glasses, too. Like, that feels like that could almost be a comic moment. Like, had they filmed it that way? Would they have had, like, Bill, like, take off his glasses or something then after Simon said that? Or, like, everyone looking at him and been like, I just like them as all, you know? Like, it feels like I could have been a little comedy moment in itself, too.
Right.
But then it's also the way he phrases that in the script of, like, if any child leaves the school before 3 p.m., it's like, well, one of them has to go home sick. Like, how are you going to verify, like, a child leaving the school? Is like that's an evacuation, like, you know, you'd be like, oh, that one left, all right, I'm blowing up the school then. I think the phrasing of it in the finished film is much more clear and concise and stuff. But
for sure,
I think they definitely brought us the best version of, like, even though you'll get to it obviously at the end, like, you know, the original ending and stuff like that. It's like, no, nearly every choice they made with this film was the right choice. It's like, to change anything, it's like, yep, you were right to change that. And
that's right. That's very true.
Yeah.
All right.
Nearly perfect film, I gotta say. Nearly perfect.
It's great. It's great. So every Friday we have a segment called Name That Movie, where my guest basically needs to figure out what movie I'm talking about. So As I know that you know, this movie was originally titled Simon Says. So what I did was is I went and collated a list of over 150 original titles for movies. And okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the name of the original title and the year, and you have to try and guess what movie it is. And
I'm just thankful that this is the thing, and it's not going to be like, okay, Niall, you now have to run down the street to this payphone and bring your microphone with you. And
I didn't say Simon Says.
Across the park.
Simon Says, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
On my way to St. Ives.
And that bit in the script, too, McLean going like, oh, the Simon Says part, as if he was just like, I'm not going to get caught out and we're going to do all this stuff about the school. And at the end, he's going to be like, I didn't say Simon Says.
That's right. That's definitely right. That's great. So the idea here is some of these are original titles of the scripts or the movies before they came out. Sometimes they are actually fake titles that were used during production in order so that people wouldn't find find the production of the movie.
Yeah, okay. One of the big ones.
Don't go through them. Maybe it'll be one that I'm going to use for you. Okay, so the first one, we have five of these. Okay, the first one. Oh, and if you don't know, we have a few lifelines. You can ask for the director. You can ask for one of the one of the actors, or you can then ask for another actor and another actor. To try and help you to figure this out. All right. So the first one is a movie from 2022 named Vengeance. And this is a fake title.
Called from 2022 called Vengeance.
That's right. A fake title used during production so that people wouldn't figure out what movie this is.
Yeah, but that's such a generic title as well. Vengeance.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Can you give me can I ask for a director then?
Yes, Matt Reeves.
Oh. Well. I'm going to say Cloverfield. No, obviously. It's obviously Batman.
Exactly. Hey, come on. I had to use it for you. Why not?
Oh, no, of course. That one's actually, now I think about it, it's very on the nose. They literally call him Vengeance throughout the entire movie. As well.
There you go. All right. Number two, from 1987. The Big Clock.
Ooh, The Big Clock. What was that one? I'm thinking because there's a movie with Kevin Costner that was a remake of a film called The Big Clock. It was Kevin Costner and Sean Young. What did they call that again? Let's have to look that up quickly. Because it's called, I actually watched it just this year as well. Big Clock. No Way Out?
That is correct. Very good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go. That's just by pure happenstance that I watched No Way Out this year.
Yeah. All right. Number three, from 2018, Simon versus the Homo Sapien Agenda.
Simon versus the Homo Sapien Agenda.
And this is a real title. It's not a fake title.
Yeah. Simon versus the Homo Sapien. Then I'll be like, was one of the X-Men movies come out in 2018? Like the Dark, it's not Dark Phoenix. No, then that was Simon Kinberg directed that. So maybe it's a really long-winded kind of way of 2018. Simon versus the Homo Sapien Agenda. No. Can I ask for an actor this time?
Sure. Nick Robinson.
Nick Robinson. Oh boy. No. I don't know. I don't know if I could take a punt on that one.
Okay. Jennifer Garner.
I wonder, is it like an animated thing? Nick Robinson and Jennifer Garner.
Josh.
I've even seen in
Josh Duhamel.
Josh Duhamel. No, it's not ringing a bell. The only thing, I haven't seen Jennifer Garner in something in so long as well.
Directed by Greg Berlanti.
Oh boy! No, I'm gonna have to throw up my hands with this one. I don't know, man.
It's possible you've never seen this one. Love, Simon.
Oh no! I have seen Love, Simon. I never. It's just buried in the memory banks now. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, but no, I never would have got that.
Okay. All right. Number four, The Summer of George, from 2017.
When they changed the title back again to someone going, it was supposed to be The Summer of George. Sorry, what was the year there again?
2017,
The Summer of George in 2017.
And this is a fake title.
Fake title, Summer of George. It's not one of the Star Wars, is it?
No.
Then a little cheeky George reference. Summer of George, like a summery thing. And it's nothing to do with the son of Sam or anything like that. Can I ask for a director?
Yes, John Watts.
John Watts. Is it one of the Spider-Man films then? Maybe Spider-Man Homecoming?
Yes, very good.
Hey, there we go.
Very good. I'm actually glad you didn't ask for an actor because I don't know who I would have given you that wouldn't have given it away right away.
Yeah. You could go like Tom Holland, Zendaya. I suppose you could go like J.B. Smoove or someone like that.
That's right.
Really throw me off, you know. Hannibal Burr. But then if you said J.B. Smoove and Hannibal Burgess, I'll be like, oh, of course, yeah, Spider-Man.
Correct. All right, and the final one from 1994, The Killer.
The Killer. Is it Leon?
No.
No, okay. The Killer. And I'm keep trying to think, it's not going to be like Batman Forever or something, just to like throw me off. But like,
well, Batman Forever was in 1995, so it can't be.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't too sure if you meant like in production in 94 or something.
No. It's a movie that came out in 1994.
Yeah. Not The Crow, nothing like that.
That was 93, I believe, or 92. It wasn't 94. Hmm.
Can I ask for, can I take a punt on the director then?
No way. Sorry, The Crow was 1994. You are correct about that. But it's not The Crow. If I give you the director, you're going to get it in a second. So I can't give you the director on this one.
All right, okay. Can you give me an actor then, but like not like one of the main cast?
Frank Wally.
The Killer. Is it Pulp Fiction?
Yes, it is.
Oh, there we go.
See, if I would have said Quentin Tarantino, I would have completely given that one away.
Been, yeah, way, way too easy. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, but Frank Whaley. Yeah, he has such iconic hair that he's always stuck in my mind. Okay. That actor. Yeah, there's always
what?
Always
what? Been what? Say what again? What?
Do they speak English and what? Oh man, yeah. Someone says some of Sam's finest work over there too. Like, and there's one too. I don't know if you've done it in the past. One I assumed you were gonna come up with, but then you went for the vengeance one with Batman. But I do know that Rory's First Kiss
was the I have that title on there.
For the Dark Knight. Like, so I was kind of sitting waiting for Rory's first kiss to come. But no, tragically not. And I think the Batman Begins was called like the Intimidation Game or something like that. They had. But no, that's a good game though, Rob. I would encourage you to keep that going as long as you possibly can, though. Even
I plan on doing that. I don't know if I can do it. No, I can't do it in more seasons after this one. I found 150. That was not the easiest thing to find. You know.
Yeah. Fair enough. But no, that was a good time. Thanks for having me too. Because again, I would talk about Die Hard with a Vengeance until the cows come home. So it's,
excellent. Well, if I have someone drop out, I know who to get in touch with.
Oh, of course, yeah. Just let me know.
All right, excellent. So now, would you like to one final time this season tell people where they can find Niall McGowan?
Yeah, I am one of the hosts of Bat Minute, which is a podcast wherein we are still talking about every minute of the Batman movies, 1 minute at a time. But actually, this year, this season, we're doing a little mini season that'll be airing at the minute about Batman Beyond: Return of the Joker. But we're doing that in 5 minute chunks because it's just like, well, we're worried we might be retreading some ground with the Joker again because, you know, he's such a common character. But we did want to go into detail in the movie because there's so much to talk about with Batman Beyond too. But yeah, that's going to be like a 16-part mini-series, which will be currently rolling out. I say that, though. I don't know for sure. I would assume by this point it's rolling out. You can find us on all good podcatchers, on Spotify, on YouTube even. And we also, all our social medias are like the Batman and Listeners Caves over on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We never use it anymore. it's there. We're on Instagram. And we have... we have an email too if you want to send a long form thing, which is batminute89@gmail.com.
All right, excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, subscribe to any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram. You can send me an email to moveyourupminute@moveyourup.net, or you can go to my website, moveyourupminute.com. So Niall, thank you very, very much for joining me this week. I had a blast. I hope you did too. I hope all of our listeners did too.
Yep, I had a blast. The equivalent of 2,400 pounds of chemical explosives.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds good. Also, too, in that script, they went from, like, oh, they had 2,800, and they're like, oh, bump it down to 24. Like, what happened there?
Exactly. And I will be back on Monday with a new guest. Let's have a great weekend, everybody. But until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay. When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.